asylum seekers or shift them, right, from the UK to another safe haven, in inverted commas, called Rwanda on the African continent. So that's been the plan for quite a while now. But as the date for that to happen is now imminent, there's been growing opposition to that. So Filippo Grandi, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, and Volker Turk, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, are calling on the UK government to reconsider its plan to transfer these asylum seekers to Rwanda. And rather, they believe practical steps needs to be taken to address these inflows of refugees and migrants, okay? Let's find out more about it, certainly from a perspective here in South Africa with Dr. Vuzimuzi Sibanda, the chairperson of the African Diaspora Global Network. Dr. Sibanda, good chatting to you, and you're now on the National Pulse. Hi. Dr. Sibanda, do we have you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, you're on the National Pulse. I certainly can. Thanks for joining us. You're on the National Pulse, right? What do you make of this move? I mean, is there sympathy with the UK for first welcoming the asylum seekers and then sympathy for getting them to be pushed to Rwanda? Or am I using the wrong words there?
Well, not, you're not using the wrong word. I mean, you must realize that because the asylum seekers had arrived, you know, in the UK, and the UK has been obviously, you know, getting, you know, the grips of, you know, this right wing, you know, language and practice where basically, you know, asylum seekers, you know, now are seen as a scourge and a problem. And we've seen this rhetoric growing, especially in the last decade. And now, unfortunately, you are using the right word that they are being pushed. Because if you look at what the UN is actually saying, you look at a country, because when people go to a country, it also means that it has got to be a choice where they want to land into, because they know and believe that their rights are going to be properly protected. You cannot be fleeing from a country where your rights are being violated and you're being thrown into a country which does not have a record of human rights, observance and defense. And that can never be said of Rwanda. What we know about Rwanda, for starters, is that, you know, we've had a leader that's been at the helm of that country for so many decades. And we know that there's been issues about, you know, the terms being renewed and all that. So starting from that on its own, that tells you a lot about the repression of freedom of speech and democracy in that country. So people are being pushed from the UK. That is the correct
question. So who are these refugees and what led to them seeking asylum in the UK in the first place?
Well, look, there's a lot of asylum seekers that are coming from Africa, some from Asia. And you will agree with me that, for example, countries in the Middle East and, you know, countries like Pakistan in Asia, they've got a lot of, you know, and you know, they're not settled. I mean, if you look at the Kashmir and all that. And then when you come into Africa, I mean, it goes without saying, I mean, we've got a lot that is happening in a lot of these African countries, right from down, you know, from Southern Africa up to the North Africa there. There is a lot of issues that are taking place and people being victimized, because the bulk of our governments in Africa, you know, work on victimizing people that they ordinarily don't agree with them or criticize how they're doing things. So these people now that already know and, you know, would want to have some form of protection are now being, you know, sent away to a country that is only going to benefit in terms of the funds that the UK is actually willing, you know, to channel because they are in good books, not necessarily because these rights are going to be observed.
So here's the issue. What then, having accepted these refugees, what is the premise or the motivation for the UK to now push them to Rwanda? Point one. Point two, what is the great appeal for the Rwandans to actually accept these refugees? I mean, is there a red herring here? Is there an incentive for them to open up their country to this influx of refugees when they were not their refugees in the first instance?
Well, look, I mean, I think that is the very important thing that we need to look at, you know, that now we are now looking at the motivation, that the reason. The UK is doing that because it doesn't want to deal, you know, with the asylum seekers, because now it has got an opinion which is negative, you know, against, you know, asylum seekers. Instead of, you know, because it has got the money that it is giving over to Rwanda to say, okay, let them be dealt with Rwanda. Why send them to another country when you can deal with them? Who has said, you know, Rwanda has got that adequate space in terms of, you know, the international, you know, position as far as the UN is concerned? Has the UN made the recommendation that Rwanda has been seen as one of the countries that is has got a good reception for asylum seekers? And that is not the position. Mm. And Rwanda, of course, in its pro-development agenda, where it's seen as developing, remember, there are so many houses that are now going to be that have already been constructed in Rwanda, which makes the Rwandan government to be happy because that infrastructure now is going to belong, you know, to Rwanda. And so much money that also had been paid over to Rwanda, millions in fact. And that is an incentive for Rwanda to say, let's get the money. How we use it, how much we real channel to these asylum seekers, no one is going to come and mark the register and say, okay, we've real paid this much and this is what we've done. So that's where the problem is.
So at the core, it's a business transaction. In fact,
it's indeed a business transaction.
Okay. Now, you know there's been opposition to it, right? I quoted the UN High Commissioner for Refugees and a few others around human rights as well, now calling for an end to that. I believe that this move of these refugees is imminent, but the fact that there's been opposition now, is that likely to be reversed, or you think it'll simply be, you know, someone standing on the soapbox at Hyde Park and nobody listening?
I still believe that there's a great likelihood that before that happens, because we know that in the UK itself, I mean, a lot of people, remember, it has been challenged in court, and this is just Parliament, you know, coming up and, you know, changing things here and there, or Cabinet. But I'm still very positive that we are going to see this again back in court, and that something is likely to stop it even, you know, during, I mean, at the 11th hour. And the UN now has actually come up. And that statement, you know, from the UN is very, very important, because it becomes a premise and basis for anyone who wants to attack that decision. You say, well, look, this is the United Nations, the ones that are in charge of asylum seekers and refugees. They understand better and are better placed about which country is, you know, a better destination for refugees and asylum seekers. And that place is definitely not Rwanda. So we're likely to see that back in court, and there's a good chance that UK might not succeed in proceeding with that. It might be interdicted even when the plane is about to take off.
And let's leave it at that. That story certainly, I think, has lots of legs to run, if I can use those words, or firepower, I suppose, right? Dr. Vusimuzi Sibanda, the chairperson of the African Diaspora Global Network. In fact, we'll have a podcast of that interview as well as the previous one around affirmative action from AfriForum.